You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with ACT Party Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden.
I spoke to ACT's Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden as part of our weekly catch-up. We spoke about ACT's feelings on the living wage, as well as the three strikes law. But to start off, since Parliament's first opening ceremony happens today, I asked her how she was feeling ahead of the big event.
It's a general feeling of excitement. You know, we've been elected for about a month now and just been doing induction days, getting to know the building, getting to know other MPs. But it hasn't really felt like Parliament, you know. So it's actually very exciting that today we've got the opening of Parliament and tomorrow another opening of Parliament. So it's quite a rigmarole, but there's going to be lots of pomp and ceremony. But it's also going to be really good because we've got the caucuses' families coming around as well, because every person has allowed two members to sit in the gallery and watch them swear their allegiance to the Queen, sit in the seat for the first time, take pictures. And so it's a real feeling of excitement, not just for the new members of Parliament, but for all of the families that will be coming and becoming part of that process too.
I'm also curious to know what you think about ACT's role in the opposition over the next few years.
Yeah, so this term we've found ourselves in opposition, unsurprisingly. But that doesn't mean that I want us to sit there and just oppose everything. I think there is a role to play in holding the government accountable to the promises that they've made. But it's not just being a voice of criticism. It's actually putting forward proposition. So it's coming up with an alternative. So over these last 4 weeks, while we've been getting to know Parliament, we've also been getting to know our portfolios. And so every member of our team has been given three or four real areas that they should delve into. And I think that allows us not only to say we are questioning what the government is doing, but what is the alternative that we'd provide instead?
I think having a productive opposition is really important. So I think that's a really good outlook on that. So now I want to talk about the statement regarding minimum wage. ACT said that they're very much opposed to the idea of increasing the minimum wage to a living wage. Why is this?
Yeah, so there's no real evidence that increasing the minimum wage to a living wage will actually make society better in any way. You know, if you look at it, increasing minimum wages actually leads to job losses and people being laid off because it imposes another cost on businesses. And you have to raise productivity an incredible amount to actually offset that raise in a minimum wage. Otherwise, the business says, okay, we've now got to fork out a couple of hundred more, a couple of thousand more, but where are we going to get that money from? We're only breaking even. And so for us, we kind of look at the problem of how do we make New Zealand a better place and a more equitable place, not by raising people's wages, but by looking at the costs that are imposed on people. So for me, one of those big issues is housing. And if we're not actually getting to the root of the housing problem and rents keep increasing, house prices keep increasing, there's an ongoing cost that's been laid on people that is not going to be solved just by increasing their wages.
That's quite a big claim that increasing wages reduces the number of jobs. I'm just curious to hear what sort of statistical evidence there is on that.
Yeah, so this is just it's basic economic theory, but it's also backed up even by Treasury. So Treasury says that a higher minimum wage doesn't actually raise any productivity and it will harm our international competitiveness. So if you take what that means for a general example, if you're a small business in New Zealand and you're now facing paying your own employees a couple of hundred or thousand more per year, no one is actually buying any more products off you. And so you have a cost that's going onto your business that you have to justify. Alternatively, there's a company overseas that's going to be able to, you know, provide that product at the same rate it did before, but yours has now become more expensive.
This idea of competing internationally, I also wanted to ask about that, because don't you think that the idea of keeping wages low to be competitive is a bit of a race to the bottom? Because, sure, undercutting competition is good for the companies, and you're very much talking about the people who are selling the product and getting the revenue from the product, but it's not good for the employees who are working for those wages.
I think there's multiple ways of looking at this, because if you look at what international trade has done for global poverty, it's actually pulled billions and billions of people out of poverty. So actually having these international trade markets has allowed people to be pulled to a higher living standard. And in fact, those countries now are seen as not as cheap as they once were, because their own living standards and wages have increased as well. So we're all pulling each other up.
So finally, I want to talk about ACT's position on the three strikes law. So why does ACT support a three strike law?
Well, for us, it's about making sure that we have a voice for victims and keeping people off the street who are repeat offenders. And this is not, you know, your everyday person who's going to prison. This is the most serious of offenders. And under our current law for three strikes, you have to go to prison the first time, be released, offend again, go to prison another time, be released, and then offend again for a third time and go to prison. And on that third strike, you get the maximum sentence for that. But there is discretion that the judges have on the third strike to say, look, if we believe that this maximum sentence is just unjustifiable for what the actual crime was, then they actually have discretion not to do the third strike. So there is flexibility for example, someone going off and doing a sexual assault and another sexual assault, and then the third time around it's simply kissing someone on the street without their consent, for example, still not okay. But there is grounds to justifiably say that person shouldn't be sent away for the maximum sexual assault offence. So the judges already use their discretion in those regards, but this is really about making sure that if someone is doing three violent sexual offences, they are kept away so that there is not another person becoming a victim.
Once again, this has been a bit of a controversial law. So I do want to ask, is there statistical evidence that this actually discourages repeat offending?
Well, the problem that we have here is that the Minister of Justice wants to get rid of the three strikes law. But the Ministry of Justice says that it hasn't been in place long enough to actually have firm evidence one way or the other. They say it's too soon to actually evaluate the full effects. And I would agree with that, because it actually takes an incredible long time to go all the way through three strikes. You know, if you look at it from a practical angle, you'd have to have been released twice to then come back for the third strike, and the law hasn't been in place long enough for a lot of people to actually do that. But there's an unintended consequence, I think, in repealing it. If you are a criminal currently on your second strike, and the Minister of Justice is saying, oh, don't worry, we're going to repeal the law, so you don't have to worry about the fact that you might be convicted a third time. It's kind of, you know, saying to a person who might have been deterred, oh, don't worry, you can get off with it now.
That is assuming that criminals are just waiting for their next opportunity, which I don't think is necessarily true. I did want to...
Well, no, there is a statement that the Ministry of Justice has said that in comparison, and I quote, in comparison with second strikeable offences committed before the law came into effect, there has been a drop in the number of second strike offences since the law's implementation. So there is a little bit of evidence to say it could be working, but it just hasn't been in place long enough to make that justifiable claim. That's all I'm saying.
Right, okay. So the three strikes law, it seems to me like a bit of a an ambulance at the bottom of a cliff sort of approach, in that it doesn't address the root causes of repeat offending, rather the outcome of it. Isn't this sort of an indictment of the current system, which favours punishment over rehabilitation?
Yeah, I think there are two elements to our justice system that I agree with or would like to see, in that I literally do believe that if someone has done three violent sexual offences, that they should be kept away so that they don't offend again. I can't fathom why you'd want to have another victim. But on the other hand, you have a lot of people going into prison, and they're called recidivists. So they get released and then they come back. But these are not for violent sexual offences. These are people who, you know, have never finished high school. They still are unable to read and write. And there is no ability for them even to get a simple driver's license, open a bank account. All of these things that, you know, you'd expect people to be able to do in New Zealand. And they're people who have fallen through the cracks. And there are programs that I would support, like the Howard League, which goes into prisons and actually teaches people how to read and write and get driver's licenses, because until you have those basic skills, there aren't a lot of employers, once you're released from prison, who want to employ you even if you don't have your driver's license. So there are ways that I think we can get people rehabilitated back into society. But I would suggest that the three strikes law is a completely different issue to that.
That was Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden from the ACT Party.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.